Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Someone decided to have the installation of the elders in the morning and the mothers in the afternoon. I won't name names, but anyways, that's where we are. So, this afternoon we will have a Mother's Day sermon, though it'll be a little different than what we've done in the past. But there's a reason for that. So, Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Hear now the word of our God. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he had gotten into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have the wonderful privilege of looking at this most glorious passage. And you may be wondering why I chose this as a Mother's Day sermon. Well, I'm not going to be here for Father's Day, and so I figured I couldn't just go hard on the mothers today and go after them and then not go after the fathers. That's very tempting for me, I have to admit, but I didn't think it would be fair. So we're going to have a little bit different focus of a sermon for Mother's Day. And I figured it would be good to have a sermon on the family as a whole. And what some of the dynamics of what a Christian family should look like. There are, of course, a lot of passages that I could have chosen to help us understand the way a family is supposed to function, focusing on a wide range of topics. But I wanted to choose a story that illustrates for us how our God always puts us in love in the best possible situations to succeed. And that even when we fail, He is there with forgiveness and compassion. And that is what is supposed to be reflected in our family as well. And we see that here in this story with our Lord Jesus, who shows that same love, compassion, and forgiveness to his brothers, his disciples. So as we go through this passage, we're going to go piece by piece through it, and we'll look at the love and grace that our Lord Jesus has for us, and then we will see how we are supposed to imitate that love within our family and our church family as well. The first thing that we see in our text is that after being with the crowds for quite some time now, and feeding the 5,000, Jesus is tired and he needs a rest. And so he sends his disciples on ahead of him in a boat to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, in the meantime, goes up on a mountain to pray. As the disciples are in the middle of the sea, a storm comes upon them and they are rowing and doing everything they can to preserve their lives and get the boat safely to shore. And this is not just for 10 minutes. This isn't just for a half an hour. They are struggling for hours at this point. We're not told exactly how many hours, but from evening until the middle of the night. That's a long time. They're hours. They are straining and struggling, wrestling against this storm. You can imagine how tired and weary they would be after fighting for their lives in many ways upon the sea in this storm. And we're told in Mark's Gospel that Jesus, while he was still on the mountain, saw the disciples struggling in the storm in the middle of the night. Likely the moon was bright, and so Jesus could see them being tossed about by the wind and the waves. Now, what do we learn about our Savior here and his love and grace to us thus far in the story? Because we would think, in our mind, wouldn't the most loving thing Jesus could have done is just gotten in the boat with them and been with them the whole time? That would seem to us to be the most loving thing in that circumstance. But it actually isn't. Because while the disciples are in the midst of that storm, Jesus is praying for them. He is praying, of course, that the Father would keep and protect his disciples, trusting perfectly that he would, but also praying for the disciples that they would not be given over to a spirit of fear, but instead be strengthened in their faith in the midst of this storm. For the Lord Jesus knows what is most important, and that is that we be drawn ever closer to our Lord. And so Jesus is praying that through this storm that they are experiencing, that they would draw near to the Lord in faith and not be overcome with fear and doubt. This is, of course, what our Lord Jesus is doing for us even now as our perfect high priest and mediator. Our Lord Jesus is praying to the Father for us. And if you want to know the powerful difference that that makes in our lives, look no further than the difference between Peter and Judas. Judas was filled with the devil and did the devil's work and met his end, killing himself in his despair, for he knew not the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But even though Peter denied Jesus three times, even though he failed greatly, Satan could not sift him as wheat. Why? Because Jesus says, I have prayed for you. That is the powerful difference that the prayers of our Savior do in our lives. This is how our Lord Jesus loves us and cares for us. And this is also how we are supposed to love and care for our family and for our church family. We should be a people of prayer. The most loving thing that you can do for your family and for this church family is to pray. The most loving thing. Not somewhere in the middle. The most loving thing. That should challenge us to pray a whole lot more than we all know we are. Because when we pray for one another, what are we doing? We are lifting those other people up to the Lord. That is why our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, not just me, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us," right? And it goes through. It's all in the plural. Why? Because the prayer is for us, yes, but it's for all of God's people all of the time. And that is how we are to pray. We're to pray for ourselves, yes, absolutely. You can look at tons of the Psalms or the prayer of Daniel or prayers that the Apostle Paul has. You can look at those things and see he prays for himself, but he also prays for the church. He cares for God's people. He loves them and he prays for them. Because what greater thing could we do than to lift one another up to the Lord and say, "Lord, you take care of them." After all, what can we do? We can't change hearts. All you have to do is have a one-year-old. The perfect illustration. You can cook them the best meal in the world. And what will they do with it? On the floor. You can do all kinds of things to bless other people, and it can do them no good. It's why the psalmist says in Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the people who build it labor in vain." Right? The Lord must be the one who brings the blessing. The Lord must be the one who changes hearts. The Lord is the one who must work. And so, we must be people of prayer. Because when we are praying, we are trusting in the Lord to do that, not ourselves. Prayer is actually the greatest display of faith. Because when we are praying, we are saying, "Lord, I can't trust myself. I can't trust my own abilities. I can't trust all these other people. I can't trust all these other services and goods in the world. I can only trust you." And so, brothers and sisters, what we see here in our passage is that our Lord Jesus cares for us and loves us so much that he prays for us. And that is what we should imitate. We should pray for one another as well. Jesus, then, in seeing his disciples out at sea struggling, goes to them in a perfect way to encourage them in their faith. Jesus walks on the water. I want us to see how that is a perfect way to encourage them in their faith. How is it? How is it a perfect way to encourage them in their faith? Well, Jesus is in doing so, as in walking on the water, is demonstrating that he has power over the very things that they are afraid of. He has power over the wind. He has power over the waves. No might of wind can blow him over. No great wave can swallow him up. He walks on the water because he is the Lord of the storm. Now, children, these are not small waves. On the Sea of Galilee, in the midst of some of these storms, there have been records of 10-foot waves. Go to a wave pool or something, right? It doesn't take much of a wave to knock you over. Jesus is walking on the water with these waves all around him, and they can't take him out. He is the one that has power over this storm, over the thing that these disciples are so afraid of. And as the disciples see Jesus, now they become even more afraid. They're scared because they think they're seeing a ghost, because they've never seen anything like that before, nor were they expecting it. You wouldn't expect Jesus to come to you walking on the water, would you? But Jesus immediately comforts them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." He doesn't let them wallow in their fear of him. He immediately gives them comfort. He immediately addresses their concern and shows them, "Look, it is I who am on the water, on the waves. I am standing above all of this. I am in control of all of this. You can trust me." Sometimes when we're in the midst of the storm, the last thing we want to hear is, "Be of good cheer." Right? But the Lord Jesus always meets us in our need and says, "You can have joy because I am here." It may not always be cause for a fiesta and a time to party. You can have times of sadness for sure, but always joy, because the Lord Jesus is with you. And what I want us to see here in this case is that Jesus perfectly sets up his disciples here to believe in him and not doubt, to have faith and not fear. This is what Jesus is constantly doing in his word, but also what he's doing in our lives. Jesus is constantly showing us that he is the one who overcomes all of our fears. He is the one that has conquered all of our enemies. We don't have to be afraid of God's justice and his wrath, because he has paid for our sin. We don't have to be afraid of hell, because we know that Christ has already gone ahead and prepared a place for us in heaven. We don't have to be afraid of government overreach, because Christ is king over all. We don't have to worry about the forces of the world, for we know that our Lord Jesus has already overcome the world. We don't have to be afraid of Satan, for Christ has already crushed his head. He's literally taken the bite out of Satan. We don't have to be afraid of what we will eat or drink or wear, for we know in Christ and because of Christ's coming, our Heavenly Father loves us and cares for us in all of these things. For if the Father gave His own Son in order to save us from ourselves and adopt us into His family, will He not also freely give us all things? Christ is always putting us in the perfect position to believe and be comforted and to know His love even in the times of great testing. Even in the midst of the storm. That is who He is. We see this also in what He does with Peter. Peter says, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And so Jesus gives the command, "Come." And sometimes we miss this in the story, but Peter actually walks on the water. Don't miss that. That is amazing. Jesus gives Peter power to walk over the storm. Over the storm that gives him so much fear. Again, Jesus in that moment is setting up Peter for success. To believe, to have faith in Jesus, and to know Christ's love and care for him. Can you imagine the amazing moment to walk on water in the midst of a raging storm with Jesus? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? We'd be overcome with awe and wonder. And we as fathers, mothers, children, siblings, and church members, we need to imitate Christ in this as well. And I don't mean by that you go tell people to go walk on water. That's not what I mean. That won't end well. We'll all end up wet. But what I mean to say is that we must be putting everyone in the best possible position to steer clear of sin and to see the love, the power, and the glory of their Savior and of their God. And also put them in a position in which they would praise God. This means that no matter what a person is going through, no matter how bad the storm is, we have to do our best to encourage them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus and tell them how He's able to deliver from all of our sins, from all of our fears, and from all of our enemies, and from every storm of life. We have to be good conversation turners. Because when someone comes to you with their troubles, when someone comes to you with their problems, you need to genuinely hear them. You need to lovingly hear them. But then you have to lovingly bring them to Christ, the only one that can help them and the one who can and will help them. If they are His sheep, He will help them. He will bring them through. Brothers and sisters, that is what we must do. If we really love and care about each other, not only will we pray for one another, but in our conversations, we will lead one another to Christ. And we will tell them of the triumphant glories of His grace. That no matter what you're going through, Christ will bring you through. looking back at our text now, even though Jesus puts Peter in a perfect position to have strong faith and to trust in Jesus, he's walking on water. You would think at that point, Lord Jesus, I praise you, I thank you, I put all my faith in you. This is wonderful. That's not what happens. What happens to Peter is what so often happens to us. Even though Jesus put Peter in a perfect position to have a strong faith and trust in Jesus, Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink. Now we do see that Peter does have faith because he cries out to Jesus to help him. Lord, save me! But it is a weak faith, isn't it? But even though Jesus put Peter in a perfect position to believe with absolute confidence and trust in Jesus, and Peter in a moment of weakness is overcome by the fear of the wind and the waves, Jesus doesn't just stand there in judgment. He doesn't just look it down at Peter and say, well, why don't you just have more faith? Why don't you just believe more? Don't you know? Look what I've done for you. I've given you every reason to believe in me. I've given you every reason to trust me in every moment. Why don't you just have more faith? That's not what Jesus says. That's maybe what we would say in that circumstance, but that's not what Jesus says. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus says. Instead, Jesus goes to Peter, reaches out his hand, and picks him up, and says to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? As you would expect from our perfect Savior, that is the perfect question. Because it is a question that is doing two things. First, he is causing Peter to think about the reason he actually had to doubt the love and care that Jesus had for him. Why are you doubting my love and care for you, Peter? What reason is there to doubt that? Which would draw him to the only possible conclusion, which is his fear and his doubt was unfounded. There actually was no reason to doubt God's love for him or to fear the storm. And second, in this question, Jesus is bidding Peter to think about how he has every reason to trust Jesus and know the love and care that Jesus has for him. So it's doing those two things. There's no reason to doubt. All these reasons that I came up with to doubt your love and care for me, Jesus, they're unfounded. They're unfounded. There's no reason why I would. And then the positive. There's every reason why I should trust you. There's every reason why I should believe you. There's every reason why I can trust your love and care for me. Brothers and sisters, when we see a brother or sister, father, mother, son, or daughter fall into sin, into doubt, into fear, there are, of course, times where tough love must be given. But even in the midst of tough love being given, there should be a gentleness to it, a gentleness of our Savior. But in all cases, no matter what correction or encouragement is necessary in the situation, make sure that you are always leading them to the sufficiency of their Savior. They can trust Him and know with certainty His love and care for them. Whenever someone stumbles and falls down, especially in the midst of the storm, we should never take the posture of standing in high judgment over them. It should never be our attitude of, how could you? How could you fall into such sin? How come you don't have a greater faith in Jesus? How could you be afraid of such a situation? That's just silly. Putting ourselves up, puffing ourselves up by putting others down in their struggles, that is an anti-Christ attitude and behavior. And it has no place in the Church of Jesus Christ. Rather, we should always be ready with forgiveness and with wisdom. Forgiveness to have compassion upon the person even in the midst of their sin and or storm. And wisdom to know how to lead them to Christ and to see how He is the one that causes them to overcome all the storms of life, and He is the one that lifts them up even when they have lost hope and are drowning in despair. May we, in our families and in our church family, point everyone to Jesus and do so in Jesus' way. And we see it clearly in demonstration for us here in our text. And so, brothers and sisters, see the love and care that your Savior has for you. And don't go hide that light under a basket. Go share that good news of God's love and care to all those who are ready to hear. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love and care that You have for us, and that we can look at Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and see a perfect example for us to follow. But more than that, O Lord, to see the sufficiency of our Savior to save us from all things. That You, O Christ, are able to save us from all our enemies, both foreign and domestic, those inside us and those outside us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that we can trust You. And as we look at Your Word, and as we look at Your life, at our life, we can see that You are worthy of all of our trust, all of our faith, all of our hope, and all of our love. And so we pray, O Lord, that You would receive it now, that we would place all of our faith, hope, and love in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, O Lord, we can't do it perfectly now. We look forward to the day when we can. But we pray, O Lord, that You would receive now our feeble efforts for the sake of Christ. And, O Lord, may You increase us in faith, hope, and love. We ask, Heavenly Father, that You would change and transform us more and more into a people that are made in the image of our Savior. May we be a people who are prayerful, prayerful for one another. Oh Lord, may we be a people who are seeking in what we do and also the conversations that we have to draw one another to see the sufficiency of our Savior in all things and to be comforted in the midst of all of life's storms with the love, the grace, and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.